Good morning. My name is Rosemary, and I'm thrilled to be taking time this morning to talk to you about Nehemiah. He's one of my favourite Bible characters and has been ever since I first heard this story when I was in my teens. So let's put this story into context. So when does it happen? It's in what we call the post-exile period. So Nehemiah, along with Ezra and Esther, tell the continuing story of God's plan once people are allowed to return to Jerusalem. Now, Artaxerxes I was the king of Persia at the time, and this was a vast empire across the Middle East, and the time is the 5th century BC. So where does the action take place? Well, it starts in Susa, which was the summer capital of the Persian Empire, and then most of the story is in Jerusalem. So who does it involve? Well, the main character is God, and we see him using Nehemiah and Artaxerxes to bring about his plan for his people. So what do we know about Nehemiah? Well, we know he was a Jew, his father was Hakaliah, and he had a brother called Hanai. It is presumed that he was born in exile, but his father may have been one of the group of the elite that were deported during the Babylonian conquest. It is clear that he has learnt about his faith in Yahweh from his family. So we find Nehemiah in an important position. He was cupbearer to Artaxerxes. This job involved tasting wine before the king drank, because apparently poison was a common way of killing enemies at this time. It meant he would have been in the king's presence often. It is thought he may have been a eunuch, because some historians say that this was a practice that was found in courts around this time. And because he was around the queen, that is often what happened. Although it does turn out to be that the term eunuch can just mean a servant. So what is the brief outline of this story then? So Nehemiah hears of the ruins of Jerusalem. The temple had been rebuilt earlier in the time of Cyrus, who was the first king of the Medes and Persians. His policy was to allow his subjects to worship in their own way. He provided money for the return to Jerusalem for the temple to be built under Zerubbabel. Nehemiah is distraught, and it causes him to go to God in prayer and fasting. He is given the opportunity to tell the king about his sadness, and as a result is sent to go back to Jerusalem to lead the work in restoring the walls of Jerusalem. The book tells us of this. They succeed despite opposition. Nehemiah becomes the governor and works to bring back God's law among the people living in Jerusalem. Ezra reads the law aloud to the people over several days, and they end up rejoicing and celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, which remembers the escape from Egypt centuries before, and celebrates God's provision and presence with them. At some point, he goes back to Susa, but returns and finds backsliding. But he helps the people straighten up their act, as it were. There was repentance and a return to God's ways. So what do we learn about the way that Nehemiah went about his task? Here's a quote from Laurie Hampton. Nehemiah consistently combined prayer with preparation and planning. He was serious about keeping watch over what God had entrusted to him. He showed trust in God even while taking necessary precautions by posting a guard over their work. Trusting does not mean we do nothing. Action does not mean we do not trust. Did you notice the use of words beginning with P? Well, humour me, please, because I love a talk with alliteration. So the first P is prayer. We have recorded in chapter 1 Nehemiah's prayer, which was accompanied with fasting. It's a powerful example of prayer that combines confession, remembrance of God's promises, and a request for help. He acknowledges the sins of the people, reminds God of his covenant, and asks for success in his mission to rebuild Jerusalem. In chapter 2, we see him using his position, that's the second P word, and the opportunity to be the answer to his prayer, despite the danger of appearing sad before the king. I love that it says, I prayed to the Lord and I said to the king, all in one string. It's what we call an arrow prayer. Overall, there are 14 times when we are told Nehemiah prayed in what is a small book. Now, I have a nephew who's a project manager, and I know that this sort of restoration takes a lot of thought and preparation. It can also be quite a headache, and you definitely have to be able to think on your feet. And Nehemiah shows this ability. So our next P is planning. He gets letters for safe conduct during the long journey and a supply of materials for the job. So he's thinking ahead. This shows his practicality and his precautionary action, as he knows there will be opposition. And there was. Ridicule, conspiracy, discouragement, 4 attempts of crafty behaviour by enemies to stop the work, false accusations. But Nehemiah's over-response was, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? That's Nehemiah 6, verse 3. He had an appreciation of the task in hand and he knew that God was involved in it. Also, I think he showed passion for his God and faith. God's law was important to him and he cared that the people followed this in order to receive God's blessing. And so back to the quote from Laurie, trusting God does not mean we do nothing. Action does not mean we do not trust. So he was the answer to his prayer. We see this man of faith who was prepared to put what could have been his life on the line because he knew that God was working. He trusted God to answer his prayer. So what about us? Do we readily take our concerns to our provider God? Do we tell God about his promises? Are we prepared to be the answer to our prayers? Are we passionate about God's word, knowing that within God's word we find life? So as we finish this time of thinking about this, let's just spend a little bit of time thinking about where we stand. We have Nehemiah, this great man of faith, who used his position and the opportunity given to him to be able to further God's work, God's plans for his people. He was prepared to be the answer to that prayer, and he went about it in a really planned way that meant that the job got done. What about us? So again, do we take our concerns to God? Are we prepared to be the answer to our prayers? Are we passionate about God's word, knowing that within it we find life?